May it please your honors, my name is Bakri Conte, appear for the petitioner, Mr. Wari. Your honor, my client was denied his applications for asylum, withholding, and protection under CAT. And the IG's decision, which was confirmed by the BIA, basically outlined two reasons. One was a non-credibility finding, second, lack of corroboration. On the issue of the non-credibility finding, the IG basically took one omission on the declaration, which was not mentioned on the declaration of my client, that his mother was raped. Apart from that, my client testified consistently with what is provided in his written declaration.
It was raped and murdered, wasn't it? Or
I think he said he was killed. The mother was killed. He didn't only say he was raped and killed. So it's the rape aspect which has been taken out. Yeah. Apart from that, the other factors.
Well, why wasn't that included in the asylum application?
Number one was it was filed by a non-lawyer at the time, even though I became a lawyer along the way. And unfortunately, I was involved in an accident prior to this matter.
So, counsel, so you were the counsel in the first immigration case, too, and where there were a number of things not included and not filed and all of that. Have you, and then I understand there was also a reprimand related to this. What has been going on that you haven't been meeting these filing deadlines, and especially where these clients who, you know, I mean, this one, he's married to a U.S. citizen and has a U.S. citizen child. It's on the verge of deportation.
Your Honor, I believe these cases came at the pretty much at the same time, and there is actually a motion for continuance. Unfortunately, a lot of things happen outside of the record, and that, like in this situation, I know for sure I did file a timely motion for continuance. Unfortunately, it was a hostile situation, and from discussing with my client, we basically forced to proceed with the hearing. And as I said, a lot could have been done, but for the unique situation that I was involved in at the time, as I said, I did try to do my best. Unfortunately, maybe it fell short.
Okay, well, I think that is the key issue, is this not mentioning the marriage and rape. Was that your fault or the client's fault?
No, as I said, the client did mention that the mother was killed. The client never mentioned to me that my mother was raped, and this happened a lot sometimes, even for counsels. At the last testimony, clients come with issues totally which they have not provided to you.
Did the asylum application say that the mother was killed by?
Yes.
By people who made the home invasion.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, what is the relief that you're seeking here? You want a reversal of the adverse credibility and remand for an open record to
Yes, Your Honor. Our belief is the non-credibility finding just on a single omission of the mother not being raped.
I thought the IJ also, or the BIA also, relied on the lack of corroboration, so that, for example, Mr. Rawal, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, but he had said that he converted from Islam
to
Christianity, but he didn't bring in any evidence that he went to church, or you know, to the extent that that was relevant to his. I think he also said he couldn't get confirmation about the situation in Somalia because people wouldn't cooperate with him because he was.
Your Honor, he did, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
He did indicate, he did provide a baptismal record from the United States, which
shows. Yeah, this is the one where he actually did provide a document.
Yeah, he did provide on that issue. That was a baptismal record which shows his conversion. And he clearly, from his original asylum application and his testimony, did indicate that he couldn't get much help from his community because of his conversion. And, he was very consistent on that.
Do you want to reserve the rest of
your time? Yes, Your Honor, I would.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. I'm Lyle Genser. I represent the respondent, Attorney General Holder, today.
They sent two of you from Washington, D.C.?
Yes, Your Honor. Originally, I had two cases. One fell out.
Uh-huh.
My colleague has two. I think he'll be before you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So sometimes this happens.
We hope you enjoy Seattle.
Right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The weather will be better over the weekend, so.
Mr. Rawil failed to meet his burden of establishing his eligibility for asylum, withholding of removal, or CAT protection. The immigration judge and the board found that he failed to provide credible evidence demonstrating either past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution based on his alleged Klan membership and his conversion to Christianity. And also, they found that he failed to adequately corroborate his claims. Because the record evidence does not compel a contrary conclusion, we would ask this court to deny the petition for review.
Well, your brief suggests, counsel, that the petitioner wasn't credible because his application said that his sister was raped and left for dead, while he testified that his sister was raped and killed. Now, you're not arguing, are you, that those statements are inconsistent?
No, we're not. But it's the mother. In the original asylum application, the written statement, he stated that his sister was raped and left for dead. When he testified, he claimed his mother had also been raped and killed. What Your Honor is referring to is there was some confusion in the application as to which sister he was talking about. He never gave names. He
did his application say that his mother had been killed?
No.
That's what was argued here.
I believe I heard my opponent say that, but no. The actual application does not mention anything about the mother, which is why the immigration judge focused on that. But the immigration judge focused on much more than that. Essentially, we have no proof here, nothing except the petitioner's testimony that he's even Somali, much less a member of the Klan that he claims he is. He did submit a document, and the government will be upfront about this, but it was not translated. And that, of course, under 1000.333, all documents that are submitted to the court by either side must be translated.
Counsel said that he asked for a continuance of this hearing to get better prepared, and it was denied.
That is simply inaccurate, Your Honor. Counsel had claimed he'd been in an auto accident, and that was what the continuance was about. It never said anything about getting better prepared. At the very beginning.
Well, obviously, I mean, you're obviously, if you've been in a car accident, you haven't been having the time to prepare.
Well, Your Honor, he had been retained 11 months prior. But what's more important is if you look at the very beginning of the record, the immigration judge asks him, are you still requesting a continuance? It's my understanding that you're not, and counsel agrees with that. And counsel never raised in his brief to either the Board of Immigration Appeals or to this court that there was any problem with the continuance. I have to be honest, I had a little difficulty understanding. I didn't realize the counsel had said that to this court. And I apologize for that, but it was not raised below. It's not in his brief.
It's
not an issue here.
So just let me ask you something. He is married to a U.S. citizen, has a U.S. citizen child. And It seems like this record was really confused and that perhaps there were some problems with counsel performing adequately for whatever reason may be outside the record. I'm just wondering if this isn't one, I mean, the things that the IJ seizes on, I'm just wondering if this isn't one that the administration would want to take to mediation or see what could be done about it.
We would not.
Because?
On the issue that Your Honor just raised, the naturalization, unfortunately, it has to come under 8 U.S.C. 1255. You're ineligible for that unless...
Wait, would you tell me what that section is?
It's INA 245, but 8 U.S.C. 1255, and that talks about adjustment of status. Under almost all circumstances, you cannot adjust unless you came into the country legally. You were admitted. He was not admitted. There is an exception. That would be under 1255I.
Which is?
Which says, as relevant to this, that you have to have submitted your application by a certain time, which would be April, it's 21st, I believe. No, it's April 1st, 2001. He came in after that date. He's just not qualified under the statute. He cannot qualify.
So he came in. He didn't come in lawfully on a visa?
He did not, no.
So he just showed up here?
Wait, did he come in with a student visa and then... No, okay, so I'm confusing the case.
I'm not sure what case that is, but not
okay,
this case.
So he didn't... How did he come in?
He snuck in. He's very vague on the record, although I think I put in my brief where he transited through. But somebody helped him from Nairobi after he was in Nairobi. He came up with enough money. He paid someone to help him out. To come. I think he entered through Mexico. But either way, he did not have a valid passport. He never talked about the specifics of how he did it.
Not a visa overstay.
No, he's not a visa overstay, Your Honor.
So that you think he's not eligible to apply for adjustment of status?
That is correct. He's not eligible. What's more important is his attorney understood that because it was discussed in front of the IJ, and the IJ talks about it in his decision and also on the record, where he says, unfortunately, you just don't qualify under 1255I. That is, you had to have submitted by April 1st, 2001, which he was not able to do because he came into the country later. Congress never made another exception to that rule. There's just no grounds for DHS. There's no way to maneuver to get that in now. Counsel also, you'll notice, did not raise the issue before the BIA because he was ineligible and he didn't raise it before this court. He mentions it in his brief, but nowhere does he actually argue, board erred by finding me ineligible. I mean, it is very unfortunate that he's ineligible. We understand he's got a U.S. citizen wife now, but he is ineligible.
And if he's ineligible because of the illegal entry, is there no part of the immigration laws in all their vastness and fairness that would let him apply?
No. Congress had made an exception under this 1255I, but it expired, and he just didn't qualify under that, and they never extended that date. So he just cannot qualify for that particular form of relief. Now, there are a bunch of other credibility problems and corroboration problems that go with this. Petitioner, Mr. Rawal, has stated that he could not corroborate his claims because he's a Christian and he doesn't get along with the Somali community. What he actually said is, I never tried. More importantly, though, there are other ways to corroborate. He could have brought in an expert witness. He claims everyone knows that I'm a member of this tribe because of my skin color or mixed Arabic race. There's nothing in the record to support that. However, there might be treatises. There might be, you go on Google, there might be experts who can testify as to clan membership. Certainly there are other Somalis, and not all of them would be hostile to him. He speculated they would, but almost by definition, every Somali who's here claims he's here because he was persecuted because some larger clan persecuted his clan and went after them. Certainly not all of them would have been inimical to helping him out, but he never tried. There's just too much that he didn't do to corroborate his claim. The immigration judge said, I don't really know what to believe because of you never even spoke Somali. You've given me no evidence that you're even Somali, much less a member of the clan. I need some corroboration. There was no corroboration. Under this court's precedent, and this is a pre-Real ID Act case, in Chepchoub and Sidhu, he was required to produce easily available corroborating evidence if the immigration judge did not know what to believe. That was the case here. There was no effort to provide any corroboration. I am just about out of time, so subject to this court's further questions, I will conclude at this point.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
You have a few minutes left. You wish to respond.
Your Honor, as I indicated earlier, my client has provided a reasonable explanation why that wasn't a corroboration evidence as to what he could have done. He has provided an answer. The judge probably doesn't believe what he said. He doesn't say, I didn't do it. He says, they've been hostile to me. And that is indicated well, in fact, in his original application for asylum. He said, I couldn't get much support from my community because of I'm a Christian. Whether he could have some other Somalis who could help him, from his point of view, he doesn't have it. And basically, we believe the IJ to determine him to be incredible just because substantively he didn't mention that his mom was raped and killed. It's not sufficient for the basis. And
let me ask you a question on that. I thought I heard you in your opening argument say that the application had said his mother was killed, but it just didn't say she was raped. And your opposing counsel says that the application doesn't say that his mother was raped or killed, so that the application doesn't show that she was killed. Now, can you cite me to the record on that? And if in fact it did say she was killed, just tell me where that is, and I'll take a look at it later.
Just a moment, Your Honor.
Why don't you look at it and hand us a note when you find the record number? We'll submit the case, and if you find the place, hand the clerk a note and with the ER on it.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'm not sure. Probably I may have, but I know in his testimony I can find the record. That was his specific.
But why don't you find it and write it down and hand?
Just tell the clerk, and she'll give it to us.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you, counsel. Rawl versus Holder will be submitted, and we will adjourn this session of court for today.